Second Corinthians chapter 5. That's not a note for me. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. I just want to say, Brian, we do thank the Lord for our soldiers, all of our military, and we pray for you.
Amen.
If you can read, thank a teacher. If you're reading English, thank a soldier.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to again begin with verse 18. And read to the end of the chapter, about four or five verses. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know the heart of everyone that is listening. And I ask you to give me just exactly the right words to speak. Give me a freedom, clarity of mind. Give me a heart full of the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And I pray you'd touch every life here. Draw us close to yourself. We know this life is vain, and soon it'll be over. And only what's done for Christ will last. I pray, God, that you would use us somehow to bring honor and glory to your name. And we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought about the ministry of reconciliation. What a tremendous thought. The ministry. A ministry of reconciliation. What do you do? What is your work? What is it you're good at? What is it that you accomplish? And when you've accomplished it, you say, wow, you know, I did a good job there. I mean, something really worked out well. And you can look at it as an accomplishment. I had a person ask me yesterday, say, well, how do you know you're successful? And I said, when there's a church started.
Amen.
And by that I meant, say, in Mexico, a church full of Mexicans, pastored by a Mexican pastor, supported by Mexican believers, and witnessed going out from the Mexicans to Mexicans, then that's a success, as far as I'm concerned. Reconciliation. You know what that tells you? That tells you there's a rift. That tells you there's a war. That tells you there's trouble. It tells you there's antagonism and fighting on both sides of this thing. And we're talking about somebody fighting with God. I remember one time I was dealing with an airborne man who was very angry at God. He didn't like his daddy being a preacher. He didn't like the time his daddy was away from home. And so he grew up with a chip on his shoulder. Now, this was one tough young man. I don't know how many jumps he made in Vietnam, but he had made a bunch of jumps. He'd fought and killed. He was a tough kid. And he's mad at God. And he's open about it. And I asked him one day, I said, did you ever read about anybody that ever fought God and won? Now, just think about that. I know you think, don't bring some stupid thing up. Just think, just a minute. Have you ever read or heard about anybody that fought against God and come out all right? It doesn't happen. Nobody fights God and wins. Yes, there's a multitude of people out in the world that are fighting God. They're standing up against God. They're cursing God. They're doing all sorts of things against God. They don't win. You know what you're going to do? You're going to live a life of 30 years, 40 years, 60 years, 100 years, and you're going to die. And every single one of you is going to die. And you know who you're going to meet when you die? You're going to wake up in the face of God. You're just going to wake up and here is God. And I don't know what you picture God to be. He may be Santa Claus to you. But I want you to understand, He's not Santa Claus. He's God. He spoke this world into existence. In 6 days, He created everything that you can see. Not multiplied billions of years. When your scientists look at it, that's the best thing they can fathom. It took millions and billions of years for this to come about. But if you'd have looked at Eve the day after God created her, you'd have said, wow, 25 years old. You'd have been like Adam and say, whoa, man. Wow, the perfect woman. How old is she? 25, at least. She's no kid. She's no old woman. She's in all of perfection. That's what you'd have said. Oh, no, she's not 25 years old. She's one day old. And that's the way God did the whole thing. That universe out there, we haven't reached the end of it. The Bible says He put it out with the span of His hand. How big's His hand? And you're going to stand up against God. You're going to fight God. You're going to put this attitude on. No fear. It's the dumbest thing I have ever seen on a car. Bumper sticker riding down the road and there's some stupid kid with tattoos and rings and stuff coming out of his hair all spiked up with different colors in. No fear. What an idiot. Man, there's some things to fear. And God is number one on my list. God is not down the line 4, 5, 10, or 15. God is number one on my list. That's the one I fear. Oh, sometimes I might be afraid of you. You might be some little old coward sneak up back behind me and shoot me in the back of the head. Or stab me. Or rob me. Or rob the radio out of my car. I'm sorry, honey, when they get your car radio. I remember Susanna, she got these graduation gifts and she put them all together and she got this super stereo for her pickup. And some jerk stole the thing. It's terrible, isn't it? You know, I fear some people. I fear what they might do. But I don't fear them like I fear God. Just the last few days, there have been so many tornadoes running across this country. You know, that's equal to an atomic bomb. Let God hit a few of His hurricanes, drop them down a little bit, one place or another. I'll tell you what, do more damage than any atomic bomb we've got, than anything we have. You ought to fear God. Not for just what He can do to you here. You ought to fear what He can do to you forever. We're not just talking about here. As bad as that could be. Do you know how bad God could make your life right here? I fear to get out of the will of God. I fear to have God judge my life. I do fear God, yet I love Him too. But I fear Him. I fear Him as I would a good father. Who, though He loves you, He'll still discipline you. Though He loves you, He'll still make you pay. So yes, there's a great big God out there. He's so smart that the very most mind-boggling brains out there are as nothing before Him. Nothing before Him. Now, I know many of them in their pride think they know it all. I really am amazed at the pride of some men. How much they think they know. And yet when it comes to God, And you just look at your eyeball. You just look at the blood running in your veins. You just look at that pump he put in there that's still going. You just look at all of the living organisms inside your body that live in and of themselves. And if they didn't live, you wouldn't live. You think that's an accident? You're out of your cotton picking mind. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. They do to me. Everything I learn about astronomy, the more I learn about the universe, the bigger it gets, the bigger my God gets. And the Bible says the earth is His handiwork. And boy, when I look around at the beautiful scenes this earth has got, it's got some beautiful places. I've traveled and I've seen them. Someone was asking me about the things I really enjoy. I love the Grand Canyon. I don't think there is a picture, a movie, anything that could come close to being there, seeing it yourself. I love the General Sherman tree. 40 feet diameter across that thing. Got a football field up and there's your first limb and it looks like my finger and it's 8 foot in diameter. I just stand in awe of something like that. And that God could make things like that was a sapling in the days of Abraham. And it's still here with all the fires and all the disease and all the hurricanes and all the winds and all the storms that have happened. I stand in awe of some things like that. I stand in awe of something else. It got a hold of me 50 years ago. I've been learning about it a long, long time. I've been practicing it for a while, and I'm still learning. It's about reconciliation. What a great thought. What a great thought. God has given us the ministry of regulation. Don't know what to say, reconciliation. And He's given us the word of reconciliation. What a privilege. I'd have to take second place to become president of the United States. I'm a preacher of the gospel of reconciliation. Now, what does reconciliation bring to view? It means that mankind, in his stubbornness, in his sin, in his rebellion, in his selfishness, in his lust, has angered God. God's angry. Bible says God's angry with the wicked every day. Don't think that God's just going to reward everybody. Don't think that God's just going to take everybody to heaven. I've had people teach that, and that's not true. Not according to the way I read this book. When I read the book, the few are going to heaven and the many are going to hell. And I'm sorry about that. If that offends you, I'm sorry about that. If that gives you some problems, but my friend, the majority of the world does not believe in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. You don't get to heaven without Jesus Christ. Amen. Buddha doesn't cut it. My Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. That means Peter can't be. That means Mary can't be. Buddha can't be. Your mother can't be. As much as you love your mother, she can't be. One mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. This word of reconciliation, this ministry of reconciliation, is that God Himself is reconciling the world unto Himself. It's not like there's some other person out here trying to intercede in a sense. It's God Himself coming to you who've been the rebel. I guess all of us are rebels in certain ways. Some of us more so than others. What a wonderful thing. I had a father ask me a while back. He didn't have strained relations with his grown son. And he was telling me what the son had done. And he said, "Now don't you think he should make the first move?" And I said, "No. I think you should make the first move because you're the father. Don't expect your son to catch up the last 25 years or 30 years that you've got on him in wisdom or grace." Now, many times it's the other way around, but in this case right here, I said, I don't care what he does. I would not let my son keep me from getting in contact with him. I don't have any throwaway children. You may have some. I don't have any. Every one of mine, I don't care how bad they get or how far they go, I am still going to reach out to them. And that's what God has done. Do you realize what reconciliation means? It means we got a war going, a real major war going. It's a spiritual war. It's a mental war. It's a war of family. God created this world. He put you in it. And you, in your pride, in your stupidity, in your selfishness, decided, I want to be king of my own life. How many a young person has told me, I know how to run my life better than my folks do? Maybe you do, but I really don't believe it. There are some sorry mothers out there. There's some sorry fathers out there. You may have had one. If so, I'm sorry for you. I can sympathize with you. But in most cases, even sorry mothers and fathers make pretty good decisions when they're telling their kids no. I've seen that. Even they denying things they're doing themselves, but they're telling their kids not to do them. When their example is wrong, their example is bad, and yet they say, don't do this. They were telling the kid the truth. I've seen it over and over and over again. Even sorry mothers love their children, even if you don't look like it. Even sorry daddies have a natural love for the children. And you can't help but love your parents. Whether they were perfect or whether they were very good or whether they were sorry or not, you can't help but love your parents. There's just something there that reaches out to you. God loves you. One of the lessons we find in the Bible is God is love. And God loves you. And the motive of the reconciliation that God has is His love for you. I don't understand grace. I readily admit it. But it's the greatest thing I've ever contemplated. It got a hold of me a long time ago. God did not save me because I was better than anybody else. That's right. All of my friends I grew up with, God didn't save me because I was better than them. He didn't see anything in me more valuable than what was in them. I'm saved and they're not. Why? Grace. I don't understand grace. Oh, I love it. I think about it all the time. And that's the grace of God that reaches down to reconcile the rebel child. Bring it back to the loving Father. The love of God. The love of God put Christ upon a cross. The love of God laid the sin of the world on Jesus Christ, and there He suffered. And when He died as the one perfect man, as the substitute for all sinful men. So that God could have a ministry of reconciliation. Now, before I go any further in this ministry of reconciliation, I want to take up verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. God is beseeching you. We're praying you instead of Christ. We take the place of God. We take the place of Christ. And we invite you to be reconciled. And He calls us an ambassador. An ambassador is the highest governmental official from one country to another country. The ambassador of the United States to England or France can sign his name to something, and it's like the president of the United States signed his name to it. He's the highest representative of one government to another. Very important thing. And in fact, many times, that government will judge our country, our president, by the actions of our ambassador. There's another definition for an ambassador. And that is, it's a special messenger with a special message. You know what governments sometimes do? They pick a certain man. Somebody maybe very close to the president. Somebody that has the trust of the government. Somebody who's known somewhere else. And they say, here's a special message. I'm going to give this. This is coming from me. I want you to take this to the president of France. I want his answer on this as soon as possible. You got this message. You don't tell it to anybody else. You take it there and you give it to him. He's an ambassador. I think we fit both. We fit both. Have you ever thought what sort of a picture you give of Christ? We got a problem here. It's not fair that Christ should be judged by me. That my actions should reflect upon Christ. That the way I deport myself, the way I speak, the actions of my life should be what people judge Christ by. But that's the fact. That is the fact. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ as His ambassador to everybody that knows you and knows you're a Christian. Every one of you. That's sure not fair. You know something? Many heads of state will never meet President Bush. He'll never be in their country. He'll never be in their embassy. He will never come eat dinner at their place. They don't know him except now, of course, with all the pictures and whatever and the television, they can see him. And yet people around the world judge President Bush by the ambassadors that he has sent to these countries. And that's exactly the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have never seen Christ. I've seen a vision or two. I've had a couple of visions. One of them was of Christ. But I don't consider that vision anything other than the object of pictures I've seen in my mind over years as I was growing up or whatever. I'm sure that's what was in my mind when I saw the picture of Christ there. I've never seen Him. I've read about Him. I know what He's supposed to look like. I realize to see Him in person would just drop you like dead. You're not going to walk in and say, hey, buddy, old pal, let me give you 20 on the side to let me offer this over here. Let me buy an indulgence at the church. You've got to be kidding. Not the Christ I see in the Bible. Whose eyes are as a burning fire. You can't look at him. The look on his face, it'd be like looking at the sun. Look what happened to Moses, and he just saw the tail end. God showed him his backside. And Moses' face shone so the people could not stand in his presence. You think you can look at God's face? You'd be blown away. This Christ, this Lord Jesus Christ, is amazing, tremendous, all-powerful, and you and I represent Him. Now, as a few times in my life, I've felt real bad about my representation. I bet you have too. Well, I want to talk to you, Christian, just for a second. You need to think about this. The only Jesus your relatives will ever see is the Jesus in you. The only message they're going to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the reconciliation for their wicked life, their rebellion, their sin, is what they hear from you. You're the ambassador. Your friends, your loved ones, will never know about Christ if you don't tell them. That's heavy with me. Sometimes I don't want to tell them. Sometimes I'm hesitant in telling them. Sometimes I beat around the bush and try to come in on a side angle to get to tell them. But oh, do we have a responsibility? Yes, I'm an ambassador. I am a special messenger with a special message. That message is reconciliation. I want you to think a minute about this. I carry a peace treaty. I got a special message. I carry a peace treaty for God. It's just as true and just as strong as if God were standing in front of you. What that verse said. As though God did beseech you by us. As in Christ's stead we pray you. You read those verses? I'm carrying a message. I've knocked on some doors and had some people make fun and ignore, and I walked away and thought they don't know what they just did. They thought they just turned down some hick preacher, some old fat man sweating in the San Antonio sun. But what they turned down was Jesus Christ. What they turned down was God praying them. What they turned down was a message of reconciliation. What they turned down was a peace treaty. A peace treaty. Just think a minute about a peace treaty. We signed a bunch of them in our lives. God wants a peace treaty with you. Something a little special about this one, though. I want you to understand, God's got conditions. And there's no bargaining on this peace treaty. I want you to understand, the conditions are already set. And what God demands is absolute, unconditional surrender.
Amen.
He offers a peace treaty, but there are conditions. You understand, and I know it's hard for you to understand, you have nothing to offer God. Nothing. What have you got that God doesn't have millions more of? If he were hungry, would he come by your house? If he needed to borrow some money to repair Saturn, would he drop by your bank account? If he had a need to do something around the world, would he come by and consult you? Does he need your wisdom? What do you have that God wants? What do you have you can bargain with? Oh, I'm going to hold this back to last. I'm going to do this. I'm going to... Yeah, I'm going to do. Yeah, you don't have anything to do with it. And unless you recognize that, this peace treaty won't work. As long as you think you have something you can give God. Well, now, God, I'll tell you what. I'll quit smoking if. You ever heard people make statements like that? God, I'll quit drinking if. God, if you heal my little girl, I'll start going to church again. God, if you hear my prayer, you don't have anything to bargain with. You are absolutely, financially and spiritually, mentally bankrupt. You have nothing to bargain with. And I want you to understand, God is a sovereign God. You can't bargain with Him anyway. You know what He demands? Absolute surrender. I remember when I did it. Can you? I remember when I did it. I didn't understand all I'm telling you right now. But I remember I said, it doesn't matter what. Whatever the cost. I want my sins forgiven. I want my soul saved. I don't want to go to hell. Whatever the cost. Now look at Acts 20. verses 20 and 21. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews, also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the conditions. Those are the conditions. You repent towards God.
Amen.
And you place your faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's it. That's it. Absolute, total surrender. God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. God, I've been rebellious. God, I've gone my own way. I've made myself king of my own life. I've ignored your commandments. I've ignored your pleas. I've ignored your servants. I've ignored everybody around me. I was rebellious to my parents. I've been rebellious in my own family. I need help. Forgive me. And God, I heard the gospel. I heard that Jesus Christ would have mercy and save a soul that called upon Him.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I'll trust Christ for my salvation. That's the condition. This very day, I come as an ambassador offering you those terms. You may be here and say, well, I'm a member of the church. Well, have you ever dealt with God? See, dealing with me is one thing. Dealing with the church is another thing. Dealing with God's altogether different. I dealt with the church several times. When I married my wife, I was a Methodist. She was a Baptist. And she was a better Christian than I was. And more faithful than I was. And I said, well, not much difference in Methodist, Baptist, but a little bit of water. So, here we go. I walked down the aisle after I married her in her church, and the preacher says, have you trusted Christ? You say, I said, yes, sir. You willing to be baptized? Yes, sir. And they dunked me, and I come up just as lost as I was when I went down. I don't believe I really knew it. But when God came to me, brought me to a place of repentance, made me scared of hell, fell on my knees, and I surrendered all. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea what all was. I didn't know what it was going to cost. I didn't know where it might lead. I just knew at that moment, at that time, God could have anything. I needed forgiveness. I needed peace in my heart between me and God. And God offered it to me. The ministry of reconciliation. All of a sudden, after a few days of getting the gospel and testifying that I'd been saved and been baptized again. They say baptism comes after salvation. Not before, not during. After. Then I begin dealing with people on getting reconciled to God. And God gave me a wonderful time. Man, I'd walk into a house. The assistant pastor took me around. I didn't know much. You can tell I'm not real smooth. But the assistant pastor, he was smooth as glass, man. I mean, he could have got in anywhere. He'd get me in the door and he'd say, Lindell, tell him your story. And it wouldn't be but just a little bit of time, and it'd be people weeping and crying on their couches and calling on the Lord. And hundreds got saved. Reconciling. It's been fun.
Amen.
Woo! Nothing quite like it. Seeing somebody reconciled to God, that's a victory.
Amen.
Seeing somebody say, this is the best thing I've ever seen. Why didn't I do this years ago? Reconciled to God. It's a ministry. It's a job. It's a lifelong commitment. It's better than fishing and catching fish. It's better than hunting and shooting deer. Man, it's better than hitting holes in one in golf. It's better than anything you ever saw. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Why don't you join it?
Amen.
Get in on it today. Why don't you go to somebody? And in God's place, offer them peace. Why don't you go to somebody? Take the Word of God. Instead of Christ, offer them salvation. Present to them the claims of God. You see, God has some claims. He got claims on your life here today. Many of you in here, God's got claims, unfulfilled claims on your life this morning. And He's calling out. In a ministry of reconciliation. Isn't reconciliation wonderful? Doesn't that word just bring pleasant thoughts to your mind? It brings joy to me. To think of something that's been rifted, something that's been torn apart, something that where there's antagonism and all of a sudden you're brought back together. And it's all because of the grace of God. Because you have no worth. You have nothing to offer. But God has something to offer that you must accept. God's just not going to throw it at you. He offers it, but you must accept it. He said, "We pray you," and Christ said, "Be ye reconciled to God." If you're here today without Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, my friend, God will save your soul and change your life.
Amen.
God will forgive all of your sins. You can't sin big enough, God can't forgive.
Amen.
The ministry that I have, the message that I have, I can give to anyone. There is no sin so vile. There is no one that has sinned so many times or so much that my ministry, this ministry of reconciliation, cannot reach. It reaches you. You can be saved today.
Amen.
This day.
Amen.
And never be lost again.
Amen.
By the grace of God. Will you hear that word? Will you take God at His word? Will you accept His invitation to have peace with God? If you're here and not saved, I invite you to come and be saved today. Come down here. Grab me by the hand and say, "I want that, Brother Lindell." Come down here and grab me. I'll get somebody. Somebody younger that has ears that can hear you. They'll pray with you. Somebody help you. My Christian friend, if you've forgotten how great this ministry is and what God has done for you, this altar's open. Let's sing number 249.